हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके जस्ट लुकिंग अगेन एट द दैट कंक्लूजन ऑफ द व्हाट डू यू कॉल दैट द प्रकाशिका द ओवरव्यू हेंस इट इज रेकमेंडेड सो दिस इज व्हाट डू यू कॉल इट Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 4, Bhakti is superior to all other sadhanas. Hence, it is recommended to exclusively devote oneself to the worship of the Supreme Lord, who possesses a benevolent nature and displays immense gratitude by bestowing all desired blessings abundantly upon even those who offer him the slightest worship. So one of the significant elements here, because you're talking about Bhakti and its superiority and going up. So the bhakti actually means worshiping the personality of Godhead. When you're just worshiping Super Soul, it's Vishnu. So it means you're having that aspect where you're respecting the Lord. But then he's the personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. You know, or when you're worshiping Vishnu in his Bhagavan form or feature, then you have that point. That the individuality of the Lord. So we see here, hence it is recommended to worship the Supreme Lord. Benevolent nature displays immense gratitude by bestowing all desired blessings upon abundantly, even upon those who offer him the slightest worship. So this is the aspect of the individuality of the Lord. The identity of the Lord, he's God. You follow his laws, he reciprocates. He has that aspect that he reciprocates as you surrender. As you deal appropriately with him, he reciprocates. You deal badly, he'll be strong with you. You deal follow his laws, you'll get the blessings of all that. But the point is it's proportionate. You take one step, he takes one step. You take two, he takes two. It's exact. You follow his law, you do the karmakanda yajna properly, everything's perfect, then the full benefits that you would get from that you'll get. You kind of do it nicely, but you know, not so well, you're distracted, you'll get kind of okay results. You do it with pride and all that, and I'm so special and fabulous, which is against the thing. You've done the ritual, you'll get the benefit of that, but he won't appreciate that pride. So it's exact. It's just exact like that. But you see, when you're dealing with that's the identity of the Lord as God. When he's taking the point of the individuality, when we're worshiping in that mood, then he's benevolent, immensely gratitude, and gives abundant blessings for those, even for those who give the slightest worship. It means it's beyond. So when Prabhupada says you take one step, he'll take 10. We're talking about the individuality of the Lord. Otherwise, in Siddhanta, as you surrender, he reciprocates. Right? That's as God. But as the person, as the individual, then you see it's much greater. Just like, you know, if you're doing some kind of point where, let's say, you're being trained in something, so how much you do nicely, that's how much there will be the reciprocation. Right? But you see, if you're dealing with just, you know, the parent and just as the parent's mood, you do a little thing, then they give so much. You know, it's like the little kid just smiles and then the adults are, you know, hugging them, patting them on the head, giving them things to eat and talking nicely for just a smile. Like that. But if you're training, you're learning something, you know, or doing something like that, then it's going to be exact. You do it properly, you've done, okay, that was good. You didn't do it properly, okay, that needs some improvement, you know, like that. So the Lord's always going to be kind. But the point is that in the individuality feature, Bhagavan feature, then it goes beyond. But the we're 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, he's unlimited. So therefore, even he's giving a small amount from his side, it's very abundant blessings. So that's the point to also notice that bhakti goes into that. Karma and jnana never, and yoga, never go near this. Never. Because they only work within identity. So he's God. You do the work right, you'll get the result. He's fair. But you never get that personal interaction. So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that there's expected that personal dealings and interaction from the Lord when you're dealing, let's say, with the Paramatma feature, but at the same time as you're not actually dealing with him as a person. It means there's identity as God. You know, he may be a person, but it's not about him as an individual and you as an individual. It's about me. I want something. He's the man who can give it. I pray to him. He gives it. I have faith in God. He doesn't give it. I don't. Just like I think it was in the news the other day that there's this lady, total, really, really extreme left feminist, and really down on everything about how, you know, nothing's right, nothing's this and that, you know, women aren't getting the same, payment in the sports that the men for, you know, she's in soccer, they're in soccer, you know, they're getting, you know, way more than she's getting and everything like that. And she's jumping up and down. They've been doing this for years. When she goes, she's part of the Olympic team, so she's good. So when she goes, when they play the national anthem, she won't acknowledge, she won't say, she won't do anything, but she represents America like that. How many people are representing? But no, you know, America's not fair and all that. She's on the team. How is she there? No, this and that. America's bad. And so then all this stuff like this, it's all about her. And if you check, people check into it, the amount she gets is more than some men get on smaller teams. Because she's the top of the feminine league. So the smaller men's league, she gets more than that. But she doesn't get as much as the top men's leagues. You know, it's pointed out because the men's leagues pulls in, I think, some $1 billion or something like that for a season. So therefore, they can give the guys, you know, much more money. Well, the women's ones brings in like maybe $30 million. It's like, it's not even a comparison. It's like, a 10th of a percent or something that they're bringing in. And so the men will get 7%. It'll be used for them. But for the women, they use, I think it's like 20% or more, 40%. They actually use a big amount. So it's actually the women are getting more in proportion to what the considered entertainment value is. In other words, the entertainment value of the women's team isn't very much because not so many people attend. But the attending value of the men actually get paid less. So she's making this whole thing, insulting everyone, really nasty person, you know, like that. And then one day, the final game she's going to play, that she's going to retire, in the game, she breaks her ankle or sprains her ankle or something quite bad. So she can't play anymore. So this is her. And then in the interview afterwards, this is her evidence that there's no God, because he let, you know, my ankle broke. Rather than, actually, for most people, it's actually a significant indication that there is God, that you're behaving badly and criticizing everybody and all this and that. And then this happens to you, you know, but she's taking it, you know, I'm doing good. I'm fabulous. I'm the center of the universe of Godless. So that's the problem with worshiping or seeing the concept of God as Paramatma, because it's an identity. You look at, I deserve this, he should give this. If he doesn't, then I don't care. And if he does, oh, now he's fabulous, and how kind and merciful God is, and this like that. So we see that also, I think it was with Vlad, you know, known as Count Dracula. Then he was a very religious person. I think, you know, at that time he probably would have been a Catholic or that. And he would go out on his campaign. So one time he was out for, two or three years or something, or at least 18 months or something. He was out for a long time. When he came back, his wife had died from some disease. So he became an atheist. You know, why didn't God, I'm doing good work, I'm a good man, how did this happen? So that's the problem when you deal just only with the Paramatma feature. There's always, you know, why does bad things happen to good people, and this and that. And so many things. But when you get to the personal, then it's about you as a person, there as a person, and interrelating as a person. So then it's not so much about what he's going to do for us. It's what we're going to do for him. And then he reciprocates. And we see he's benevolent. He gives abundant blessings, even if we just give the slightest worship. So whatever we're getting. So when Prabhupada mentions that, then in that feature that you've done something and you deserve, you know, something very drastic to, let's say, die, but it gets reduced down to a little cut on your finger. Right? So then it's, oh, how could God allow? No, but the point is it was supposed to be more. But these things are there just to that you'll reciprocate with God, surrender to God. Because the dental tendencies, especially for the neophyte devotees, everything goes perfectly. They don't remember God. It's only when there's problems, then they turn to God. And so as long as God adjusts those problems, gets rid of them, then, you know, the faith inspired. So whatever is going to make it work, but at the same time as there is going to be the test, do you really care about him or he's just an order supplier? You know, and at that time, then you see is that those who, despite the difficulty, they go on, those are the ones that are actually glorified. Like I mentioned, that soccer player, people are going to forget her. You know, she's in the news because she's wild and crazy and got pink hair and, you know, the whole thing. You know, short pink hair, you know, like that. Not as short as pink, but yeah, but a little longer. So then, I think what she's got is the Nazi cut. I think it's the Nazi cut. Yeah. So then so they're just going to forget about her like that. But the Pandavas, right? 5,000 years later, we're still hearing that story with great enthusiasm. You know, and then the stories about the Acharyas, you know, Narottam Das Thakur taking all the works of the Acharyas from Vrindavan to Bengal for the Bengali devotees, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita and all this, the books that the Acharyas wrote. And then it gets stolen by the king, you know, and then he has to go and then he has to, you know, debate and preach to the king until he acknowledges, then they get the works back and that. And then, you know, he takes shelter in that kingdom, staying there, you know, and then he preaches, you know, even though the smarter Brahmins don't like. You know, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also fighting with the smarta Brahmins on all and the Sahajiyas, the caste Goswamis about this and that. And, you know, so all these different things you see, you know, Baladev Vidyabhushan having to argue also with the other, some they're saying we're not a Sampradaya because we don't have a Vedanta Sutra commentary. So they're going and all these difficulties, the Prabhupada on the ship alone, going, having a heart attack and then being there alone. Then he's there in the north. He's in the upbeat professional, upper middle class, upper class, scene, yoga scene, you know, all the cool and that, the dream of today's soft preachers. Prabhupada started there and then rejected it. Let that soak in, right? He started there. That's where he started. And then he could see is that that's nice. They all come and listen and nod their heads and everything, but no one's really taking it seriously, like most of our yoga preaching today. One or two people, they're able to do something and make devotees. But you see as those devotees maintain a very strong attachment to yoga. Very strong. Just like those who do with the vegans, they join, but they're still vegans. And they demand that everybody else is vegan and Krishna's vegan and everything's vegan. So it's not as solid as it could be. It means, in other words, those persons, unless there's something to jog them, how are they ever going to get to the Madhyama platform? Because they really think it's my yoga and my veganism and my, you know, modern socialistic view is the real basis of goodness that people can move forward in Krishna consciousness, right? You know, they're saying, oh, the yoga is goodness. Why are they doing the yoga? For health, so they'll look good, you know, and things like that. It's all mode of passion. They're using a mode of goodness system. That's nice. But it's still the mode of passion. It's not that yogis are sitting down trying to find the absolute truth, right? Or if they're looking for mystic cities, then yes, again, there's the passion. But it's more bodily conscious. It's like being vegan. It's an identity. For us, we're vegetarians. It's not an identity. It's this part of our sadhana. But for the vegans, it's an identity. So who are they as an individual? You know, so that's the problem. They're not dealing with individuality. They're dealing with identity. So all these things come up. So these are where you see the big problems come up, all the isms and everything. That's all identity. Because it's an identity. Oh, I'm liberal. Oh, I'm conservative. Oh, we're this. Oh, we're that. And that. And then everybody else is an identity that are either favorable or against them. There's no individuality. So that's the whole point. Bhakti is about the individuality of the individual soul surrendering to the supreme absolute soul. That's the uniqueness. Well, karma and jnana and yoga, it's just identity. That's why it can never give what bhakti can give. It's impossible. Since you're dealing with identity, you're working in money, you're only going to get money. You know, you work in kindness, you'll get kindness. You work in food, you'll get food. It's just straightforward. That's justice. That's just inherent, you know, way things work. It's inherent in the soul. So the point is that unless you work in individuality, how is it going to be reciprocated in individuality? And so only bhakti can do that, can rise you from that neophyte platform of where identity is the most important thing up to the individuality that you see is there when it comes down to the madhyama. Because the madhyama, it's about faith that this process, this devotional service, this holy name is the only thing. It's the superior thing. You can't get what it offers anywhere else, and it's what the soul requires. And so therefore, then you can commit to that, and that's why the madhyama is considered the preacher, because he can deal individually with individuals and connect them to the supreme individual. While neophytes tend to have the identity. That's why the madhyama can preach to a wider range of people. There may be certain persons he's very good with, but he can preach to a wider range, because he's dealing in the principles of Krishna consciousness and the individual. So he talks to the individual and that. So, but for the neophyte, since they're not really working in individuality, they're working in identity, therefore they're more, they can work with the particular group. Like you go back in time, the devotees could work with the hippies. If there were no hippies, they couldn't preach. Preaching meant going to where there were hippies. Literally, you go to find where the hippies are, you go to one of their programs, or, you know, they have their markets and that, and hang out there, and, you know, you do your kirtan and stuff as a devotee. But you have to go there, and then they'll go, oh, hey, what's happening? And then at the end of the day, they see, hey, you know, where are you staying? Oh, no place to stay. Just can't. Hey, you can come and stay with us, because they have more of a commune kind of thing. They got a big house and, you know, a bunch of hippies live in it and stuff. Yeah, you know, like that. And then from there, they start, and then they do programs there. Then they go out, and then they get a few more people involved. And once they start getting some money from distributing BTGs and stuff like that and donations, then they get their own place, and that's the temple. But it always started where there were hippies, because they could relate. I'm a shaved head hippie, and they're long haired hippies, you know. But we have, the highest thing, the truth, and so we can deal with that, you know. So some people can deal with, you know, this group or that group, and that's how your social political things come into the movement. Is that not moving forward? Then they have to identify with their particular, you know, social, political, economic group. And then from that, then, you know, they don't want to be seen as a neophyte. So they have to say, is this is what we require for the whole society, when we never do. So these are the problems that come up if we only leave it at identity. It means we may be situated in that because of our immaturity in Krishna consciousness. That's fine. We start there. A slightest worship, Krishna will reciprocate abundantly. But we have to know is what the actual goal is, and what we're working with here is not the position. Just like Prabhupada mentioned, so that the on Second Avenue is surrounded by, you know, what, you know, at least in America we call winos. I don't know if they still call them that. Totally into wine, you know, because it's cheap and stuff like that. They're alcoholics, and they also happen to be generally homeless, and you know, they're a bit of a you know, how you say, desperados, you know, like that. So, and then, so they're there. So then Prabhupada was telling one of them that, you know, you're drinking wine because for you, it has a value. So that taste you get from the wine, that value you have in it, that experience you get that you think that this is special, because it's like, not like the taste is fabulous, but it's what you are gaining. That's actually Krishna. And if you understand that that aspect of it, then it's, that's offered to Krishna, that that's that, then it will purify you. And from what I understand, both that wino and another devotee who used the same preaching method to another one, they joined. That other devotee, when he did, they joined, I think, in 3 weeks. So they gave up. So it's not that you're going to keep drinking out. No, they're going to give it up. So the whole point is these identities, you can start there and engage them in Krishna service. But at some point, they have to be given up for what's recommended by the acharyas. If it's something that's recommended and you're attached to it on the mundane platform, then that's a better advantage. So if you come from a smart Brahmin family, you get up in the morning, you take your bath, you follow all the things of cleanliness, you put on your tilak, you wear your thread, you chant your gayatri, you worship your deity, your shaligrams, you do offerings, ringing the bell, offering the lamps. And now it's just now you're doing it knowing God as a person and giving up the demigods. That's going to be the best and easiest because it's so, you know, all you have to do is adjust basically the consciousness. Everything else remains the same. But if you're coming from a Malecha Yavana background where you don't have all those things, then yes, in the beginning, some of those things, then you're going to engage, you know, like you see those early preaching, like 66, 67, they're talking about, you know, preaching to the hippies that after you're coming down from your LSD trip, come to the temple. It's a good place to, you know, stabilize and all that, not get off. I mean, so yeah, they talk about that, you know, or about the, you know, this is a high that you never come down from and all that and, you know, stuff like that. So they'd use the added work, the hippies join. And from chanting, they took that up and gave up all this hippie mentality. So yes, it can be a start. So it's not a problem that you're starting with the identity, but the point is if you think the identity is the standard, oh, we're Westerners and we have to do Western, that is pollution. That is nonsense. Okay, you know, if this is day one of when you joined or day 3 years, but not 50 years or 60 years of being Krishna consciousness and pushing this, this is nonsense. This is just straight up front nonsense. Yes, you have to consider that they're Westerners, but the point is not that they're Westerners. It's that do something for Krishna, what you can do. So naturally, they're going to be wearing what they wear and cooking what they cook and offering now to Krishna and trying to look more like a gentleman because it's not about them. It's about, you know, how you fit into the culture and all that as an individual. And so then it expands. So we see here from this is that why bhakti is special, because it can take you beyond this mundane political, religious, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha to the individual platform. It means dharma, artha, kama, moksha is all based on identity. You may be an individual within it. It has a seemingly some aspect, but not much. But the point, because its basis is identity, but in the spiritual world, its basis is the individuality. Sadhana bhakti, yes, we're practicing. And Vaidhi Bhakti, then it's about my identity as the servant of Krishna and all that. So it's at least a real and transcendental identity. But with time, it comes down to I as an individual like Krishna consciousness and like serving Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates that. That's where what is Rag. Rag is dealing with Krishna as an individual, and he's an individual. It's not an identity. You know what I'm saying? You know, unless it's an identity based on individuals, we're Brajbasis because we're based on, we have attachment to the Brajbasi devotees. And so that group we're attached to, but it started with individuality, then went to identity, not the other way around. So sadhana means that we're starting from identity and trying to get to individuality. So it's a very major and integral part of the devotional process, you know, to elevate ourselves up. So like that, then we have to appreciate that only bhakti, nothing else can get you to this point. And even of the processes of bhakti, then, I mean, of the philosophies, the one who will get you to the most understanding of this, where you could simultaneously have the identity, I mean, the individuality, but have those elements of identity that can be used as basis of reciprocation or rasa. That only in the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva can you take it to the point of Braj. So only the Goda can get you there. You know, and if one's comfortable with that as Krishna is God, then that's fine. You know, if it's Krishna is God, then you have Dwarka. If it's Vishnu is God, then you have Vaikuntha. You know, so it works. It's not a problem. But the point is what we're being given, Gaura Chaitanya says this has never been given before. It's not that devotional service, worship of the Lord is not there, worship of Krishna, all these things, because Karshanas are there. Like you see in India, you have Ram Bhaktas and you have Krishna Bhaktas. That's basically what you have. And then, of course, you have Shaivites and Tantrics and all those things. But of the Vaishnavas, they're either Krishna Bhaktas, more in the, you know, you see towards the Vrindavan side, and Ram Bhaktas when you go a little bit more towards Ayodhya. But all over the place, different communities are this. But in either case, whichever it is, they worship Ram. They celebrate Janmashtami. They see it as Ram comes as Krishna. And those who then worship Krishna, then they see Krishna's come as Ram. Right? So then there's not a problem there. It's just a focus. But the point of being Gaudiya, where then you're serving Krishna by serving Radharani, that no other system will give you. Not even the Nimbarkas. Because even, yeah, okay, they're worshiping there and Radharani and that, but it's not Brajavrindavan. Right? It's part of Goloka. It's not part of Gokul. Right? It's part of Svetadvipa. It'll be aspects of there, you know, like that, Vrindavan and that, and, you know, the Alwars talk about that and other things like that. But that's not what Lord Chaitanya, so that's very unique. And so it's based on this past aspect of taking the individuality to the farthest form. And so that then gives the results that then is being talked about here. Does that make sense? So if we're wondering why is Krishna reciprocating like this, is are you dealing with him as a person, an individual? Are you as an individual? Are you looking as an identity? It is an identity. Then you'll see, you know, the reciprocation will be thus. Yes? No? Very good. Yeah? Okay. So now the Adhikarana summary. The Vishaya. Devotion characterized by upasana of the Supreme Lord stands as the sole method for achieving the highest result, which is the attainment of the Lord, right? So that's the Visha, that's the position that you're establishing, that this is your thesis. And so then you're saying, okay, then this is what we have, like that. So then the Shamshaya and Purvapaksha. Right. So the Shamshaya is going to be the doubt for this, right? Because the point is the next thing is that you're doing is going to be explaining it. Right. If there's a Vishaya, you make your statement, your thesis. And somebody, just nods their head, makes sense. Then you don't have to go into any more. You don't have to apply the whole Panchanga Nyaya on that point. You just say the point. Right? But if there's going to be, a problem with it, you explain it. So that's why the second stage that Gotama explains is then giving your reason, right? Hetu. So why are you giving the reason? Because there's a doubt, right? There's a Shamshaya and a Purvapaksha, right? So the Shamshaya is the doubt, the Purvapaksha is their reasons. So that means you are going to give your reasons. So that's does that make sense? That's then going to be that uttara. And then that uttara then to, once you kind of get an area where you're starting to say something and okay, they're listening. They're not just fighting and arguing over everything, you know, calling you a racist and this and that because they have no argument. So then at that point, now you can go into the third stage where you're bringing out the example to try to establish what's going on and make it clear to them. So in other words, these two systems that we're dealing with aren't two systems. They're just one is talking about these are the points that are there. These are the five features or five angas of presenting an logical presentation. At the same time as if you're presenting those because people have doubts and they have their theories and their arguments and their examples and everything like that. And so therefore, then you have that dynamic. So we see Gotama showing what's the system, what's the framework. And then we see from the Vyanta Sutra, then Vyasadeva is showing it being applied dynamically. So they're both the same thing. It's just what you're talking about. You know, it's just like here's a car. Okay, here's the driver's seat, the steering wheel, the pedals, this and that. Here is the, you know, the engine. Here's the carburetor. You know, when you push on this, then it opens the carburetor. When the pistons move, and that moves the main one that drives the, you know, goes through the gears, that gives the drive shaft, that goes to the differential, that goes to the wheels, and then you go down the road, and then you turn the thing, and then the front wheels turn, and then you go wherever you're going. You have your gears. So that's all explained. You understand that, but then driving it means it's not one after another. You're doing that as you need. You may be turning and doing the gears or turning and accelerating or decelerating, you know, all the different things. You're going down the road, and if you want to turn right, you turn the wheel to your right. But let's say the backside right of the car has swung out because it's sliding, then most people would turn left because they want the back of the car to go to the left. But the point is, that's at the back. You control the front. So you turn into the thing. Whichever way it's going, you turn into it. So you're turning right, the back's right, and then it straightens out. Right? But on a ship, the rudder turns the opposite. When you turn right, then it turns the back of the boat to the right. Where are you thinking? Well, the front should go right. No, the back goes right. In the car, the front goes right when you turn right. But on the boat, the back goes right. You know, so it just has that. So you have to be able to understand is that all these things are going on. So this Samshaya Purva Paksha Uttara Siddhanta, that simply means how the five principles being applied in a live dynamic argument or discussion happens. Right? So we can say we didn't give our reason because we only have to give our reason if people don't understand. Right? Okay. Therefore, Samshaya Purva Paksha. The Vedas advocate three processes, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda, as pathways to spiritual enlightenment, with various scriptures extolling the virtues of each of these approaches. So how can you proclaim bhakti as the only path? Right? That's the problem that comes up, is that we're saying all these things are there, and they're all bona fide, but only bhakti can give you the highest path. The others are on the same path, but they'll only go up to a certain point. So they're looking at it as three paths. We understand as one path. It's like a yoga ladder. So if you talk about the first rung will be karma, the second rung will be the jnana, you know, third rung will be yoga, but fourth rung will be bhakti. So that's the thing. We see it as one path. Krishna mentioned the Gita, and then whether you're going up or down, like that. But they see it as three separate paths. And so therefore, that's how they keep, they're all the same. That's how they keep the unity in the Vedic culture, is that I do my thing, you do your thing. So culturally, we're all the same. But, you know, either we have different goals we're looking for immediately, but otherwise, generally, they're all impersonalists. So ultimately, it all ends up in the same place. You went through these different paths. But ours is that we're not interested in the goals of karma, jnana, or yoga. We're only interested in the goal of bhakti. And bhakti being the original form. In other words, the whole path going forward, Krishna is all bhakti. If you're not doing that, it's going away from Krishna. That's actually the spiritual, you know, how they see it in the spiritual world. Here we'll see it as going to heaven and planets. Oh, we're getting a better thing, you know, so like that. But in the spiritual world, it's like, who would want that? You know, that's just not what you want. So they're going to come up with this. Therefore, you get the every path leads to the supreme, and whatever you do, it's all the same, and everything like that. All that impersonalism, voidism, all comes up from there. Okay, Uttara. Bhakti is the root of all the sadhanas and the only independent process, whereas karma and jnana depend on bhakti for their results. This is substantiated in the following verse. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.19. Hence, it is clear that one should adopt only the process of bhakti. Right? It's the root cause of all the others. That means it has they have a relation with bhakti, not the other way around. Right? In other words, mechanical elements of bhakti means, in other words, the identity aspects within bhakti. But because bhakti has the individuality aspect that the others don't have, that's why it's independent and they're not. So because of the independent nature, the individuality, you can apply the identities of those other two paths, you know, and still progress as long as you have a conviction that the individuality is the ultimate position, and one doesn't get distracted and forget that, right? And so then you progress. And so that's why association with those more advanced means they're always reminding you of the individual relationship with the Lord that you have, you as an individual in that. That's the unique, that's what's there. Of course, by association, if someone is more situated in the identity element, then they can show you how to do that and fix you there. Like, you know, a more mature smarta can inspire those who are less mature smartas and, you know, following the rules very nicely and paying attention to detail. But they can't give you bhakti because they don't have it. You can't give something you don't have. Right? Yeah. And bhakti being independent, even if you get one drop, it can expand unlimitedly. So that's why a new bhakta can be a Vartma Pradarsha guru for somebody. Like that. Yeah. Purva Paksha. Okay, so now Samchaya and Purva Paksha? What is it? Oh, okay, so it's giving the Purva Paksha. Yeah, so this means now they're comment on that Uttara, right?
Yes, Maharaj. Samsha and Purva Paksha, then Uttara. You didn't read in between, no?
Yeah. I'm just saying here it says Samshaya and Purva Paksha.
Yes, because just Samshaya is just, they express their doubt, then Purva Paksha is explain their doubt.
Okay.
So you can club them together.
Okay, so you don't have to repeat the Samshaya because now you're just giving further Purva
yes.
Pakshas.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Further, it will be only like doubt based on your one. So it is generally expressed mostly as Purva Paksha only.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Okay, so the doubt would be that they were saying that there's not one path. All of these are paths to whatever it is, the supreme. That's a
doubt.
Doubt
is, there is a confusion that this may not be true. But then you have your reasons why you think in that way.
Okay, so that's the Purva Paksha. Yeah, no, it's good. That's good. So then Purva Paksha to that. Just as bhakti is the means of obtaining the Lord, the other processes like karma, jnana, and yoga should be means to attain him, since they have a little portion of bhakti's excellence. Right? So now they've taken this. Okay, so then if you're saying that bhakti is independent, because they're trying to say all paths are the same. You know, they have different flavors for different strokes for different folks. You know, so like that is, you know, it's like you have this boat, they have that boat, but the whole point is all the boats are floating, you know, so like that, you know. So So then here is that, then you have bhakti, you're saying that bhakti is a part of these. They can only function because of bhakti. So then there, he's reversing it there and saying, therefore, since they have a portion of bhakti, wouldn't they also be means to obtain? Right? But they're not talking about karma yoga, jnana yoga, like that. They're talking about just the path of karma, since bhakti is necessary to make karma work. Therefore, you would require, you therefore, because it's there, you can get bhakti from that. Rather than, no, bhakti is independent, it's assisting that to make it work. But it's not that you're accessing actually the bhakti, because it's not bhakti to the Supreme Lord on the eternal path platform. It's temporary. You're only approaching and showing that bhakti to the Lord until you get your result. Once you get the result, you stop. So you're not actually seeing the eternal element of bhakti. You're working on a temporary nature. So it's bhakti mr. karma is actually what's going on. It's not karma mr. bhakti. It's the opposite. It's not that you have bhakti, but then you still have some residue attachments to karma and jnana and yoga. No, this is where you have attachment to karma, jnana and yoga. That's your purpose. That, so their thinking is that I will do all these things, I'll get all these heavenly pleasures and the liberation, and then I'll, you know, attain the Lord. By that process, just because I've attained, it'll just happen automatically. So this is then where the problem comes. Putra. Though these other sadhanas have a portion of bhakti, they are unworthy pursuits, as explained below. Results from karma are limited and fleeting, failing to please the Lord even with elevated material achievement. In contrast, sincere devotional service, even from somebody socially considered inferior, can please the Lord, right? So even you get up to the position of Brahma, it's not, it doesn't impress the Lord, as we see in the past time, you know, both in the Brahma Vimohan Leela in the Krishna, you know, where Krishna, Lord Brahma steals the calves, and when he goes to Dwarka, and when he gets there, he gets the doorman and tells him, Lord, you know, who are you, and tell him that Lord Brahma has arrived. And so he's just thinking that, you know, that's good. I mean, everybody in the universe knows me. And then when the messenger then came back, then he said, you know, like that. And Krishna asked, I told Krishna, and Krishna asked, which one? And then it was like, what? So, you know, his foreheads were blown. So at that point, then he noticed that all these other Brahmas that have 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 10,000, million heads. So he's the smallest Brahma out of all these Brahmas. Means he's the only one with four heads, and there's no one Brahma with two or one. So he's the smallest of them. And also because they have more heads, they're actually bigger in size, so they can have so many heads. And then he was humbled that, okay, then, you know, even though I'm Brahma, because we're thinking, because I've got this list, you know, because I'm American, because I'm from an aristocratic family, because I'm a liberal, therefore I'm the superior, you know, individual on the planet. Well, no, it's like, it doesn't work. Krishna's not impressed with our material position, no matter what it is. If it's, you know, whatever is the position here on earth, whatever it is, you know, in the heavenly planets, or, you know, Bali Maharaj, he's from the lower planets. That's where you saw it mentioned before, even you're interested in the lower planets. He was the king there and had taken over the heavenly planets. So he was controlling the whole universe like that. Indra just controls from earth and above. He doesn't bother with what's below because there's a king down there. He takes care. But here, he's controlling down and up. So he's actually had a kingdom bigger than Indra. And that, but Krishna doesn't care. He came down there, and not only as, you know, a big guy and like this, and okay, you know, let's do this. He came as a kid, and not only as a kid, as a dwarf kid, right? So a five-year-old is like this big, and that means a dwarf five-year-old will be like this big, right? Because it's said that when he walked, because he'd have an umbrella, you know, one of those bamboo umbrellas. So standard bamboo umbrella is about this big. I don't know if you can see there, but like that. And so that means half of it's that big. And so that means when you put it on his shoulder, it means you can't see him. You might be able to see his feet, but when it's on his shoulder and he's walking, Bali Maharaj is looking and go, why is this umbrella moving on its own? Right? This is how he came. And then he said, you know, came and it's a Brahman and all. Sukracharya knows, Vishnu showed up. But Bali Maharaj just, he's a Brahman and we serve Brahmins. And even if he is the Supreme Lord, then even better, right? And so then he only wanted 3 steps of land. How much is 3 steps of land going to be for a kid that big? Right? So that means it'll end up about that much. So it's like, I can take more than that. I'll control the universe. Not just, I'll be happy with that. And he tricks him. You know, 1 step he takes all, the whole universe. The 2nd step, then he goes outside the universe. And that means that's it. The whole universe has been covered. Now what? Then he offers his head. That's the individuality. In other words, up to that, he's a king, he's a Brahmin. But now he's a servant of surrender as an individual, surrender to the Lord, and he's the Lord who then is reciprocated. So then you see is that it doesn't matter. That's why karma is it's fleeting, it's limited. Whatever you get, how long does it last? So that's why it can never please the Lord. Krishna's not, what he's got is so much better. Then Astanga Yoga is ineffective in attaining the Supreme Lord as practitioners struggle to overcome material desires like lust and greed and thus never achieve satisfaction of the heart. Right? They never get there. Who do we say? Bajapatis, we see them getting to that point. But you don't even hear of all of them. It's only like a few of them, like I think Kardama and I think Kasyapa, like that they might be there. But I think Kasyapa was originally an impersonalist, like that. And so then where do we have them? It's like Vishwamitra was good at yoga, but he hadn't attained devotion. So then in that pastime with Ambarish Maharaj, then he saw, the bhakti yogis are the highest, then he saw, and according to his mentality, you could expect that he probably would have taken up more devotion because he always wanted, he was always in pursuit of what's the best, what's the highest, So like that, so he went extolling the glories of the devotee when he went back to Brahmaloka, right? So therefore, most of them lust and greed. So most of them check out when it comes to the mystic cities. They don't go beyond that. So that's the... In Jnana Yoga, despite earnest efforts, the outcome is merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, a state also attained by the enemies of the Lord. Devotees, however, reach the highest stage of knowledge and renunciation, accessing the spiritual planets in Vaikuntha Loka. Right? So they go beyond. And so you can't get that. So the bhakti, that means that's all you can get. Even though the bhakti is there, the bhakti only helps them because they don't function. It's like your toaster is not independent. It requires electricity. But so now can you inverse that and says, because it's the toaster and it uses electricity and electricity is a integral part of the functioning of the toaster. Therefore, the toaster can produce the results of electricity. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. Bhakti is independent. It can make the toaster work. And it's only because of the electricity or because of bhakti, the toaster works or bhakti, karma and jnana and yoga work. But you can't reverse it. The syllogism doesn't work both ways. So that's the thing, is they're working with dead matter and it's being inspired by chit potency. But only in as much as it deals with that due to your illusion of or attachment to those things. Because you identify as a karmi, therefore the chit potency makes it lie. Because who's identifying as the karmi? The soul, who is also a fragment of chit. So therefore, why would the soul act you know, with dead matter, unless there's some chit involved for them to be that. But that chit transforms. But the point is it's still without that potency. They're not interested in dead matter. So they, in illusion, think that there's something solid here when it's not. It's not. It's still, you're dealing with Maya. The devotee in karma yoga, then you're dealing with the internal potency, and then that external element, that detachment's there. So then Maya, because she's a devotee of the Lord, then arranges the facilities for the devotees. And now and again, you see, it's for those great devotees, and the Lord personally arranges it. You know, it's just like you see is that Krishna, you know, in the Sringadev, he personally comes and kills the demon. Right? But otherwise, then on Krishna's direction, you know, Super Soul directs Maya to take care of this devotee in this way, and so one gets all facilities. It's Krishna arranging, but he's not directly, he's doing it through his agencies. But sometimes you see that he personally comes, like Bilva Mangal, he personally comes and brings them something to eat. Or with Raghunath Das Goswami, then personally comes and you know, tells the tiger to go away and don't bother him. Like that. So you get that. You know, so you do see that. So these others, you're dealing with the external energy. Know that. Karma, Gyan, and Yoga are dealing with the external energy. Their mediums are external energy. Their results are forms of the external energy. Even there in Mahakalapura, situated in Vishuddha Sattva, but still they're within Mahatattva because they still think I'm the controller and enjoyer. They never made it to the spiritual world because Brahman is everywhere. So, and because you can stay in Brahman for some time, then being in the universe, it's going to be, you know, expanding, you know, manifesting and going back into the Lord, manifesting, going back into the Lord. But here in Mahakalapura, you could sit there without being disturbed by the creation and destruction, maintenance and destruction that goes on, because you're going to be there for, you know, how long are you going to be there before you get bored? 5, 10 minutes, 40 minutes, a few hours, even a few days, a few weeks. But remember, 3/4 of a second is every, that's the cycle of every breath of Mahavishnu. So creation, maintenance, and dissolution happens in 3/4 of a second. So therefore, Mahakalapura is where you hang out, so you don't have to get bothered by that. But you're still in Mahatattva. You never, and you can say you're in Brahman, that is the Brahma Jyoti, but it's the Brahma Jyoti that's within Mahatattva, because Mahatattva is also Brahman. You're only in that part. You don't get to what's on the Vaikuntha side. You never actually cross, because you can't. Because you don't know the Lord and his place. You only know Brahman. Does that make sense? And even if you did get beyond, then what is surrounding Goloka? Tridents in the 10 directions. And if any impersonalist, not, you know, not approaches, then they go and cut him to shreds. So you can go heads back to Mahakalapura, much more safe, you know. So it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So the whole point is just because electricity makes the toaster work, doesn't mean that now the toaster is electricity and now the toaster can give the results that electricity does. No, this toaster can't make another toaster work. No, electricity will make. Purvapaksha. Some may say, quote, we accept that upasana is superior to all other sadhanas, but the Upasana Khanda recommends worship of many devatas for devotees with different mentalities and desires. Hence, exclusive worship of Lord Vishnu can't be the conclusion of the scriptures, right? So, because they're trying to avoid the conclusion that exclusive worship of Vishnu is the conclusion, because they have their material desires, they want those. They identify as a big yogi or a big mystic or a big, you know, impersonalist or a big, you know, enjoyer, a controller and enjoyer like that, or, you know, so that's how they identify. And so then, you know, Krishna reciprocates through these forms. That's why there's that touch of the chit potency, But the point is that it's going to be how do you say? It's not going to work. So they're trying to avoid that. So then, therefore, they're giving their argument that, okay, some say, they're not saying we say, they are saying is that we know the arguments are there. We may or may not agree with them, but we're not going to discuss that. Some say that because they're using it as an argument to defeat. So in other words, they want to establish that their position is the strongest. And, how you say, but they don't like that bhakti is the highest, so they're going to use any argument to defeat it. You know, so we have that aspect. They do have their philosophy, but it's about establishing that. It's about not necessarily about knowing more, right? At least at this point, they're trying to establish. Now, if you can defeat them, then okay. Because you see is that they've accepted these other points. You know, okay, bhakti is the root. You can say as all these others, it's only through bhakti it works. Okay, accepting that bhakti is the root, that means karma, jnana, and upasana have a touch of bhakti in them. So therefore, because they have the touch, therefore they could give the same results. No, because they're inferior. The results they give is less. They can't give that because they don't have the full potency. Okay, so even we accept that the karma, astanga yoga, and jnana are less, but upasana, now that's... Why do you say that includes all these others? So now the uttara. The scriptures disapprove of worshiping devatas independently of the Supreme Lord. The endorsement of devata worship in scripture should be interpreted in consideration of this fact, right? So in other words, if devatas are worship, you have to see it in the fact, not an opinion, the fact that you can only worship the devata, you know, in context of the Supreme Lord. As his servant. So you worship the Lord and then offer the remnants to the demigod. Right? Devatas can be revered as devotees of the Lord or as expansions of avaranas and vibhutis of his divine energy. So they can be seen like that. So in either case, as devotees or as avaranas or expansions and vibhutis, it's still he's supreme and they are subservient. So, you know, if you have something there, let's say somebody in their household, everybody in their smarta family, everybody's, but they become a devotee. So it's time for a particular ritual that includes the devata to worship. Now that worship already includes worship of Shaligram. And then those remnants are giving the demigod, whatever it is. That's just the way it is. Smartas do that also. They just don't do it with devotion. So therefore, Lord Vishnu doesn't actually accept their offering and devotion. That's why it said the demigod worship. The remnants from that you don't accept if they're non-devotees. But if it's a devotee doing there and he's worshiping, so then he's worshiping Vishnu and bhakti, then giving that result, that remnants to the demigod who he sees also as a devotee, and that demigod accepts it as a devotee, not in his form as a demigod. So therefore, then when his family members accept the remnants, they're actually taking Vishnu Prashad and Mahaprashad of the devotees, you know, like that, that they've never had before. They've only ever had remnants of the demigods, and that's not going to get them a whole heck of a lot. Right? Okay, how are we doing? Okay. Siddhanta. It would be unwise, so then this is the reply to that. It would be unwise to follow any alternative method and not dedicate oneself exclusively to the worship of the Supreme Lord the Lord with a benevolent nature graciously showers abundant blessings even on those who offer him the slightest worship, displaying immense gratitude. Right? So you bring it back to that point in the beginning, is that you've defeated all their points and showed that all these things are there, and so therefore then it would be unwise to follow one of the alternatives. You should follow the direct method. That's actually what. So the Vedas actually only recommend worship of the Supreme Lord in pure devotion. That's all they recommend. If you can't acknowledge, okay, then you can do this. You know, it's just like you could say, why would they do that? Look in our society. Do we make a strict thing as if you're not wearing a dhoti and chadar, then, you know, you can't be acknowledged as within the society of ISKCON devotees? No, because if we did, then so many would have trouble. You know, oh, you have to only eat this kind of cooking, because otherwise they would have trouble. So it is accommodating all these things. But to say that accommodation is the highest truth, that's like saying karma is the high, because karma has some bhakti in it. Therefore, that's what's going on. When we say, oh, we're Westerners, so therefore we have to do these things, they're trying to make it that path is the same. It's not, because it's based on attachment. It's based on karma. So therefore it's not karma yoga. That's the difference. What Prabhupada gave is karma yoga, gauging the Western nature. But what this thing of, oh, we're Westerners and we can't do this and that, we have to do all that, that's bhakti misra karma. It's not actually real devotion, because it doesn't care about Krishna and the processes given by himself or his devotees. It's like what we make up, that becomes the thing. Yeah. Good. Okay, so then 9 o'clock, we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.